WFSU FM now presents a delayed broadcast of the May 7th, 2012 To the Village Square Forum, recorded at St. John's Episcopal Church in downtown Tallahassee.
We're ready to start the program. I'm Bob Gil Ziffer, City Commissioner, welcoming you to an interesting, and we'll need all of your help in this because it's a new kind of format, Village Square event.
I'm Village Square Executive Director Liz Joyner, and welcome to our very first Fast Forward Tallahassee program.
Well, we want to thank all of our partners, KCCI, Leadership Tallahassee. There are LT grads all throughout the room that will be helping make this program work tonight, the Tallahassee Democrat and Access Tallahassee.
And one of the things we're showing you tonight, I'm going to talk really fast and read it, is that our format tonight is that the slides advance. It's called Pachachka. They advance automatically after 20 seconds whether we're ready or not. So clearly, we are behind. And all of our speakers here tonight have an incredible spirit of adventure to give this a go because it is challenging. It is tricky. And now I have to tell you really fast. O'Gill has to tell you about this. Go.
Okay. We thought it was only fair for us to have to do a tiny Pachachka presentation ourselves on what's new in our little corner of the world. So we've just launched Tallahassee Wiki, a fully editable online guide to everything Tallahassee written by you. You get to go online and write things.
That was the last slide. And now this one is, if you want to learn, you do have something else to say?
Go ahead. Fine.
If you want to learn how to use the wiki or just hang out with us together this summer, join us at Camp Wiki at Red Eye for 3 Sundays this summer, June 24th, July 15th, August 5th. We're treating for pizza, and we'll have a barista there so you can be fully caffeinated. If you want more info, sign up at our poster. It's going to be in the hallway when you leave, and we'll get you more info. And also, that's it, and we can go ahead.
Commissioner Gillum, I believe...
See how hard this is?
Commissioner Gillum, I believe they save a seat for you up here. We're glad you're here.
And actually, you know, Pachachka is Japanese for chit-chat. And Vince Long, the county administrator, just told me it was actually Japanese for sneaky trick to make a bureaucrat not talk too long.
Okay, but before we go any further, we need everybody to really be quiet, because the only way this can work is if everybody's listening and only talking when they have a microphone. So, having said that, we're ready to start the program. Our first one is my city manager, Anita Favors-Thompson, who's been the city manager for 15 years. It says here, responsible for a $730 million budget. That's a lot of money. 3,000 employees. And she has got a presentation on things going on in the city I think you're all going to want to hear. So, Anita, please come up. Thank you.
They didn't even let me say hello, so I have an intro, and then I got to go. Gaines Street. Gaines Street is a project to revitalize a key connector between our two universities. Check out the photos of our block party after phase one. Lush landscaping, great gathering points, beautiful roadway consistent with the old adage, if you build it, they will come. We're seeing that already. We're seeing the fruits of our labor on Gaines Street. Recall the late night library and Bill's bookstore on Gaines Street and envision what will be built on those sites. Three projects represent an investment of over $60 million. They will bring nearly 500,000 square feet of residential and 88,000 square feet of retail space. Work begins early next year and with the completion of summer 2014. Investment in Gaines Street Corridor has also brought mixed-use development on Madison Street and Gay that will include 3,500 square feet of retail space and rental housing and on the second story. Estimated total project cost is $24.6 million. You've all heard about the outstanding College Town development at the corner of Madison and Woodward Streets. Construction is already underway, representing a $23 million partnership between the city, CRA, Seminole Boosters, and FSU. 44,000 square feet worth of retail, 77 residential units, include shopping food fund. CRA is providing $2.3 million for sidewalks. Remember the old city utility payment site on Madison and Railroad near the Civic Center? It's amazing to think that a residential project could be built on that site. Where is the parking? Actually in the middle of the development. 283 units of housing, $21.4 million project. Cascades Park started with the city-led remediation and followed with Blueprint's development of a premier park. $20 million, it opens next year, features ranging from an interactive water fountain, Smoky Hollow Plaza, pedestrian bridges, and Centennial Field commemorative plaza. Extending FAMU Way enhances transportation options and beautifies the city's south side. A gorgeous roadway similar to the Blairstone Project. We work closely with FAMU and the residents to maintain strong support. Includes Capitol Cascades Trail, linear park, bike lanes, meandering sidewalks, and on-street parking. Franklin Boulevard is a great example of the city and residents working together to quickly reach consensus on how to capitalize on federal funding to improve a long-term flooding project, create a beautiful gateway to Cascades Park. Creating a sense of place is a major city commission priority. You recognize these three areas. Midtown is already in progress. Market Street District near I-10 and Thomasville is also underway. The photo above shows the type of stormwater pond transformation envisioned in the area between Premier Health and McDonald's. Also, the photo at right is South Adams Street project showing a new Palmer and Monroe intersection. New sidewalks to support Star Metro. $15 million investment supports increased ridership of 20%. Also, downtown sidewalk upgrades to be more accessible to the disabled. Go to publicworks@talgov.com for more information. And speaking of sidewalks, the next project is going to be truly stunning and memorable. It's a joint project between the city and the FSU Master Craftsman Studio to create sidewalks that commemorate the Civil Rights Movement and bus boycott in Tallahassee. They'll be installed on Monroe and Jefferson Street near the old McCrory store. Development is also taking place at the Tallahassee Regional Airport. This is the Compass Point Flight Line Development, which will be a campus-like aviation business development, including a new Honda Jet facility. Photos show a new flight line hangar in the center and a proposed future signature hotel that's depicted on the right side of the drawing. It's not just new development at the airport, but great new service with U.S. Air providing nonstop direct service to Washington, D.C. Hooray! And with reports of people getting $200 round-trip tickets. We're focused on our customers, see our commissioners assisting customers with their baggage at Christmas time. Also, be sure to check out our new cell phone lot and great new coffee shop. May not be very sexy to talk about sewage treatment. However, we're committed to a $230 million project to enhance our system to advanced wastewater treatment level. This effort creates 250 local jobs, minimizes nitrates from our treated wastewater, and protects Wakulla Springs and the aquifer. We are looking up. Residential housing and commercial permitting activities are both trending upward from last year, a good sign for the economy. We're addressing the fine balance between protecting our environment and promoting new development. 92% of our customers are indicating satisfaction with the service. Our permits are being completed on time. An example of how well fast-tracking has worked is the Red Hill Surgical Center. It's a project qualified for tax discounts because it brought in 43 new jobs. The commission has fast-tracked city projects to help create jobs during the economic downturn. This is also, they also implemented a local vendor preference policy so that our tax dollars stay in our community. Investment is also taking place in our neighborhoods. This is a 5,000 square foot community center being built in the Providence community off of Lake Bradford. It represents a partnership of a number of entities and the CRA, provides after school programs, computer access for adults, and social services. Chelsea Apartments is now Homefront Apartments. They're single apartments for homeless veterans. We have purchased that property and renovated it with federal neighborhood stabilization funds. What could be more appropriate than recognizing the service of American veterans? Our commitment to our community really starts with our kids, and some of the most vulnerable are our teens. A partnership with the county, schools, and state commenced the Teen Center. This summer, we'll also be doing our Splash and Jam projects to keep kids busy and safe while they are having fun. And last but not least, we're extremely proud of Tallahassee's leadership role as a sustainable community. From the new focus on community gardens to the major feature in yesterday's newspaper on idle-free program and the use of batteries to power police car amenities, we are saving thousands of dollars in fuel. Whew. I have never spoken where I haven't looked out at the audience one time. Hello, everyone. Wonderful to see you.
That was great. We're going to give our city manager one more round of applause because she went first. That's the hardest thing to always do. She did a great job. And the bar right now Vince is about this high. So let's... So this is... I'm not on the clock. I just wanted to point out, when we went into this recession, the construction industry is the one that got hit the hardest, and all these projects along Gaines Street and Madison are going to put a lot of those people back to work, which means for any of you that own a business, more money in your pocket. So it's going to be a very exciting time to live in this city the next 18 to 24 months. Now, I'll do good quickly. I'd like to introduce Vince Long, Leon County for 17 years. He became county administrator about a year ago. Under his leadership, county government has stressed innovation, transparency, and a people-focused, performance-driven culture. And most recently, I might add, he was a conductor at the Tallahassee Symphony Pops concert at Southwood, and he swings a mean baton. Vince Long.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, are we going? Okay, we're going to talk about some of the same projects tonight. So in the very brief time that I have, I wanted to emphasize the important connection between people, these projects, and place, which is a relationship that I believe is critically important to how we fast forward as a community, especially in these tough times. What's not to love about our community? A community that's welcoming and vibrant, a great place to live and work and raise a family, where local governments engage with our partners and citizens, people like you, like Village Square, like KCCI and LT, you know, on important matters facing our community. I say this because that is essentially the 22nd version of the Board of County Commissioners' new vision statement. But it's never been more difficult to create and sustain that vision, never easier to slip and become anywhere USA. I want you to see the truck in this picture. Every local government has an entire department dedicated to making this truck happy. Great communities focus on creating places that make people happy, places worth caring about, or else why would anyone bother? But there are challenges, as you can see by the arrows here, and our economic condition is a major challenge to economic investment or our local government investment in our community. The picture says 1,000 words, and these are pictures of actual county services in this new normal of ours. And as scary as these arrows are, the next ones are even scarier to any community. In times like these, you see, absent any meaningful intervention, more and more people identify as disenfranchised individual taxpayer and less like something that looks like stakeholder in the success of the community. I contend to you that the ratio of bumper stickers like this in any community is probably as good a metric as any to what we're going to do, how we're going to live, and what we're not going to do. We fast forward as a community when we get the arrows moving in the right direction, and that comes from understanding the strong correlation between people's connection to the community and economic vitality, or else a project is just a traffic delay or a meaningless expense. So we move forward in our community not by new projects alone, but by tapping into people's powerful connection to place, by strengthening our relationship and by engaging people in our community in meaningful ways. These are real areas of emphasis for the county, and you'll find these in the projects and initiatives that I'll highlight tonight. So you've already heard about this project, and for good reason, and you'll probably hear about it again later on tonight. But what I wanted to highlight is that this project on Gaines Street, I think, represents really the best of partnerships, with the city of Tallahassee taking the lead on this project and the county committing over $10 million to this worthwhile project and linking a city-county Blueprint 2000 project that cascades with an FSU Boosters project at Collegetown. This next graphic shows that connection. It shows the type of private projects which follow public investment. But it takes even more than that. I contend that it takes great and genuine relationships among the institutions. And that's why projects like the new Town and Gown Initiative, that's an outgrowth of KCCI and headed up by Mike Pate, is so important. So once you create places that people want to be, how you play as a community makes a difference. Through Leon County's Division of Tourism, we are focused not only on attracting visitors, but attracting and retaining talent in our community. At the amphitheater that you see here under construction, when finished, this will be a top venue for talent in our community. What started out as a stormwater project has been transformed into a place for people when we added the new Eastside Branch Library with walking trails around the lake, under the oak trees. This is a place for people quite literally to find meaning, for neighbors to convene, and it replaces the old strip mall storefront. If you haven't been there yet, you really must go. And speaking of libraries, the county has taken another empty big box and creating a town center with a library and a community space as an anchor. You see, You see here neighbors engaged in helping shape the future of their community. When you see what Ed Murray started in Midtown, we hope to have the same catalytic impact in the Northwest, working with an entire DRI. When it comes to our emphasis on strengthening our partnerships when it matters the most, nothing exemplifies this more than the public safety complex. With the county and the city and the sheriff's department working together, this will be one of the most collaborative and high-tech facilities of any of its kind in the country. In the planning stages of this project, we provided land for the new Red Cross building. When complete, this facility will house all emergency dispatch communications, EMS, fire, city traffic management, and county emergency operations center. Again, making one of the most integrated emergency complexes in the entire country. Projects like these and projects like you will see more of tonight don't just happen. And that's why we created the new Design Work Studio in the City County Department of Planning, Land Management, and Community Enhancement, or PLACE. And you will be hearing from our great director of PLACE, Wayne Tedder, in just a moment. But it's located at the Renaissance Center. The new design studio recognizes that good community planning is more than building codes and land use regulations. It's about bringing people together to create a vision and working toward that vision together. I believe that this is going to be key for our next best chapter in our community. When is a website worthy of a presentation like this? I think when it engages people in ways that we never have before. This new site really connects people to their government. It demystifies governmental processes as it promotes transparency and it builds trust. This is just another small step of moving people in that direction towards stakeholder and the success of the community. And speaking of meaningful engagement, we recently launched the new Citizen Engagement Series. This is a year-long program that provides the opportunity for citizens and county officials to regularly interact in a more informal setting. These are highly immersive sessions where we invite citizens to be a part of the solution. And participation has been very, very strong, and we're learning a lot from one another. Sometimes, folks, meaningful engagement and building relationships is as simple as saying thank you. On behalf of the Board of County Commissioners, I want to invite each of you to a community celebration in downtown Get Down fashion as we say thank you to our local armed forces and members of the veterans for their sacrifice for our community. That's on May 18th. In closing, everyone, what's new is great, but let's remember, new doesn't last. What does are the relationships that we forge as co-creators in our community and the connection that we make between people and these projects, these places, so that they continue to evolve and create interest and meaning. And that will take all of our continued commitment to make that happen. And with that, I'm done.
This is good. And they're meeting their time limitations, whereas I am not. I'd like to bring up Madam City Manager, if you'd come up and join Vince. And also, we're going to invite Wayne Tedder, who's the director of our Tallahassee-Leon County department called Planning, Land Management, and Community Enhancement, acronym PLACE. In his spare time, he loves to fish, but rumor has it he hasn't been fishing in the last year. We've been working him too hard. So we now have 10 minutes of Q&A. We have microphones out. We do. So if you have a question for any one of these three regarding the presentation we just had or anything else, now would be a good time. And we're trying to keep the questions to 30 seconds for the question and then the response just a couple of minutes, right?
Sorry, Chicago, that was brought together by a neighborhood dog park. Oh, thank you. Okay. I'm a fan of Greyhound adoption. There's a wonderful opportunity to adopt Greyhounds over in JCKC. I didn't hear anything about dog parks. Are there any being planned?
Well, I'll let Anita talk about the dog parks, only because I didn't know the answer to that.
Yes.
But let me just say first that, it reminds me, though, because I remember a few years back we went to Chattanooga and we were talking to their mayor. And Chattanooga has one of the best stories out there in terms of a city that was at a low of a low and it became very, very high. And Wayne and I, in fact, after the trip, we went to the mayor and we were asking him about just how they did what they did there and some of the ways, some of the things that we could borrow and steal from their community. And I remember asking him a pretty pointy-headed question. I asked him about metrics that they use to measure success in their downtown, and he looked at me and he said, dog crap. He said that's our best metric for a viable downtown, and so I didn't ask any more questions. But with that, Anita.
There is a dog park associated with Cascades Park, and it has a really interesting history in terms of the discussion that took place as it was developed as part of the park. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, just very quickly, I can tell you that there will be amenities. We expect folks to have dogs in the downtown, so there's full complementary amenities that will be designed and incorporated into the park, dog waste stations and things like that. So the full park, for lack of a better term, will be available for dogs.
Dog friendly.
And we're also trying to keep the poop out of the stormwater system.
Right. But you can go to talgov.com and learn about the TAP program, which talks all about that.
I said that for Nancy Miller's sake.
Commissioner Miller knows all about that. Are there any other questions? Steve?
Sure. Probably about a year ago, we had a developer contact the Growth Management Department, Planning Department, and they said they had an idea for a site for redevelopment. Our staff always makes ourselves available to pre-plan, if you will, before a line is drawn to paper. And we basically got on the phone. We talked to the developer. There was quite a bit of discussion about what the Midtown Revitalization Plan incorporated, the Sense of Place Initiative. And we're really looking for a very urban-type development in that area. Because of the shape of that property, it's a wedge shape. It's kind of like a pizza shape. Made it very difficult to bring the entire development to the roadway. But we have two components of that. There's a driveway that splits the site. Either side of that drive, we have development and open-air market adjacent to the roadway, which is consistent with the vision that we had intended for the Midtown area.
Yes, sir.
We have a question here.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I didn't see you standing. I apologize.
Hi. How are you guys doing? I really appreciate the focus on urban infill and urban redevelopment. I think that's definitely needed in this town, and I definitely appreciate all the projects that are going on. What plans, if any, are there to focus on North Monroe Corridor, Tallahassee Mall, and minimize new approvals that are maybe on the urban fringe until we can address North Monroe Street?
Again, that's one of those Wayne questions, but I can tell you that both the City and County Commission have been discussing that issue through our CRA process.
And kind of from the other end of that question regarding restricting growth on the outside, the City and County have adopted what we call an urban service area boundary. That is a line which basically says for the next 20 years, that's where we're going to target development within our community. That line has been pretty well held for several years. We've had just recently a development proposal come before asking for intensification outside of that line. It was withdrawn before it got to City and County action, but that's one of those things. The community came out. They addressed the issues. They said this is premature growth in this area, and I think the developer or the property owner listened to that. Tallahassee Mall. Redevelopment opportunities there are huge. It's probably 90% impervious surface area. Great opportunity, great access to the interstate. I can tell you in times past, we've had ideas come to us using it as a truck warehouse distribution center. That is really not what you would see or want to see in that area. It's zoned the most intense zoning district in the city of Tallahassee. It's an activity center, so it allows a whole lot of redevelopment potential. It's just ripe, waiting for something to come along. Is that something that both city and county have wanted to address in some fashion? Yes. Where we get to that point, I can't tell you. I know there's the CRA looking at potential expansion of the boundaries that could create opportunity, but there's nothing, as long as there's a market, there's nothing that allows us to look at redevelopment that in sight before any type of action like that.
It looks like there's going to be a huge amount of development out on the east side in terms of the new development, at least as large as the Governor's Square out at I-10, and also in the Wilani Plantation area, and it's all leading to the little roundabout that got so much hubbub about it on Miccosukee Road and whatever effect that'll have on Canopy Roads. Where could we see maps of these proposed future developments and get us? And how does that fit into this supposed urban and city-county edge? Because it seems like we're developing pretty far out and heading for a future where it's going to be harder for people to get in and out of areas like that. Where we're trying to move away from sprawl culture, I thought. But
thank you.
Okay, again, the urban service area boundary. That is where we are projecting growth in the next 20 years. All of those developments are well within that area. All the infrastructure, water, sewer, electric, all is available to those sites. So typically from a development perspective, you would like the development to occur where those utilities and where those central services are available. The DeVoe Moore site, the information for that is on the Planning Department webpage. You can see the application. It's going through a comp plan amendment process. Currently, it's allowed significant amount of development, but it has four different zoning districts, three different future land use categories, and it's very difficult for staff to wrap their arms around that and figure out how can you have a common development plan if you can't have a common zoning district. So that's stage one for that property.
And now we are going to move to our next segment. Because the, no? 2 minutes. I'm sorry. Red light.
In the 2 minutes now, Gil, I didn't get to say hello before. So hello, everyone. Glad you could have me. Appreciate being here. Thank you, Gil. I didn't get time before. Now it's 1 minute.
We only have 1 minute, so we'll want to save the last 10 seconds for Vince to say goodbye to everybody. Since he said hello to everybody.
It's been great being with you.
Anita, would you like to say hello and goodbye to everyone? Any other questions in 30 seconds or less? Then what I'm going to say is, Vince, goodbye.
You're welcome.
Good. Thank you very much, and let's thank these three panelists very much. Okay. Now we're going to move to Cascades Park and Cultivate Cascades segment. Lori Hartsfield is Executive Director of the Knight Creative Communities Institute, KCCI. You've heard that acronym a couple of times. You're going to hear it a lot more times. If you don't already know, she moved here from Austin. It says here she bleeds orange, and I'm supposed to go now, hook 'em horns. How'd I do? Where'd she go? Not very well. And yes, she's related to all the other Tallahassee Hartsfields by marriage. Lori Hartsfield.
If you don't know what KCCI stands for, it stands for the Knight Creative Communities Institute. So now you know why we go by KCCI, because it's just a little bit too much of a mouthful. But what is KCCI? It's a grassroots volunteer organization that's committed to sense of place projects. You're going to hear from one of our premier projects from this year's what we call a catalyst class. So what is a catalyst and what is a catalyst class? That's our group of volunteers that we recruit every year. If you want to know what a catalyst is and what some of the projects are that we've worked on over the last few years, there's a card on your chair or table. You can learn a little bit more about it. We're taking applications this year. This will be our fourth class of a 5-year grant-funded program. The applications will be due on Monday, August 13th, and we'll select 30 to 35 people to move through next year's program. Something else I want to bring to your attention is there is a survey. If you are a biker in this community or you have concerns about bike lanes, bike safety, there's a survey that our Tallahassee on Two Wheels group has put together. It's on the white table. Be sure to grab it, fill it out, leave it in your chair, and we'll pick it up afterwards. But we want your opinions on what's going on in our community regarding bike safety and promotion. Now I want to introduce you to two of our catalysts this year. The first one is Betsy Kerr Couch, who serves as adjunct professor for Florida State University and is committed to improving the Tallahassee community through her volunteer efforts. Betsy is co-chair of KCCI's Cultivate Cascades team and was recently named by the Tallahassee Democrat as one of 25 women to know. The next co-chair is Bernice Cox, who is founder of the Bacall Group with over 25 years of experience representing clients before the U.S. Senate and Congress, Governor and Cabinet, Florida House and Senate. Again, she is co-chair of the KCCI Cultivate Cascades team and serves as the team's fundraising chair. Bernice loves spending time kayaking in the Florida sun. And Wayne Tedder will be joining them on this segment, too.
Thank you all. As Lori mentioned, I'm Betsy Couch. And first, I'd like to ask everyone who is a past or current catalyst to please stand. Because there are quite a few of you in the room. And I want to say, I know our team personally, when we started, thank you. We had a big shoes to fill because they have accomplished so many great things. And the word on the street was, if you want to get something done in Tallahassee, apply to be a catalyst. And you will meet some of the most amazing people that you have ever worked with. And I'll say personally, It has been such a wonderful experience. But first, thank you for having Bernice and I here today. We're excited to talk about something we're so passionate about. And we'll very quickly go through. We fortunately aren't on the 22nd PCHU presentation, but we will be brief and then open it up to Q&A. But first, going back, our team sat down in August and said, what do we want to work on? What are some of the things out there? And one of the ideas that stemmed up was, of course, Cascades Park. Well, once this had been developed, we said, you know, there's been so much on building the park. What is happening when it opens? So one of the first things our team did in one of the meetings is said, you know, there's so many opportunities for programming, potential activities in the park, but what does the Tallahassee community want to see? So we were blessed to have a team member, Dr. Joshua Newman, who couldn't be here today, on our team, who specializes in research. So we very quickly put together a research report so that we could go out there and survey and find out what do people want to see. But we also wanted to go past just talking to the Tallahassee residents. We wanted to find out what other parks, what city, county parks in other communities that are similar in demographic to Tallahassee, what have they learned and what have they seen as success stories? And also, we really took a focus on parks that had amphitheaters because, of course, Cascades Parks, one of its amenities is an amphitheater. So our group kind of said, all right, we have three priorities. One is going to be, first, let's do the research to find out what does everybody in Tallahassee think and what are some of the best practices out there. But then also, we were going to look at a way to get people engaged in the park early. And one of the ideas that had stemmed from conversations with key stakeholders was to do a community planting day. And then the third, of course, was we as a team said, you know what, in everything we do, we will be out there, we'll become experts as much as we can on Cascades Park, and we will help elevate this and talk about it so that we really help brand the park and build up awareness for this wonderful 24-acre park that's going to be opening in early 2013. So we set out, I'll kind of turn it over to Bernice. We set out first with our research.
And what we did is once we got together, we said, we need to talk to the community stakeholders. We need to interview them and get information from them on what's happening, the issues surrounding the park, the opportunities for the park, and the development of the park. And we also wanted to talk to those stakeholders in the community about what we might need to include in our survey. And based on the interviews and the certain themes kept reappearing. The first theme that reappeared is that appeared was that we need to market and brand the park. And we need to let every citizen, or at least almost all citizens in Tallahassee and the surrounding area, know about Cascades Park and the opportunities that Cascades Park has available and what's going to be happening in Cascades Park when it opens in 2013. The second part was to promote physical activity. There's going to be substantial walking trails there, I think about 2.4 miles of walking trail. So why not hold 5K races and walks there? Why not have a yoga in the parks? I know we look throughout the state of Florida, and we see a lot of people having yoga on the beach and yoga in their parks. Well, let's have a yoga in the parks at Cascade Park or Pilates. Let's promote healthy lifestyle here in our Cascades Park. The next one is to develop an educational potential. We have an incredible historic Smoky Hollow neighborhood in Cascades Park, and we need to recognize its significance and elevate its significance in the community and the surrounding area. Also, we have the Prime Meridian marker there, and we have the Centennial Field at Cascades Park. So those are all open for educational opportunities. The next was to enhance outdoor arts. A lot of us have been to the arts festivals that we have here. I know Le Moyne holds one annually that's just a huge success. And let's see what kind of art festival and arts we can bring to Cascades Park. There seemed to be a great interest in that from our stakeholders. Use it as a catalyst for economic growth. I think Betsy and maybe a couple of our other members touched on this earlier, is to allow it to be a site for promoting our community and for bringing tourists, for it to be a tourist destination into our community. I think Lee, I see Lee back there, I think he would appreciate that highly. And the last one is to address logistical concerns. Anytime you have a development or a park of this size, you're going to have some issues that arise, one being safety, one being parking, and another one being configuration of the amphitheater. And all of the stakeholders we met with thought these were issues, but they thought they were issues that we could resolve by working with the city police, by working with City Parks and Recreation, Blueprint, Star Metro, and other public agencies in Tallahassee. Then we, as Betsy alluded to earlier, on our committee is Dr. Joshua Newman, who spearheaded our survey and our research into the community. And so we sent out a survey hoping to get 800 responses, but we were able to recruit through online and go into the libraries, and we received over 1,600 responses for the community to make it a substantial survey. We asked what the community would like to see in the park, and overwhelmingly, the number one event that they would like to see in the park was concerts. But they also wanted to balance the programming and make sure that there was a diverse programming in the park. You'll see on this slide that there was art festival, cultural festival, theater performance, dance performance. And for those that really liked the run, walk activities or some sort of health activities, that was ranked very high. That was a high priority for them. But we also found that some educational activities, for those who wanted educational activities, it was projected to be high. In the concerts, they were looking for not only local musical concerts, but for concerts from large performers out of town to be held a few times a year. The next question is, when would you come to the activities? If activities were planned, when is the best time that you would come? Spring was, of course, the first choice, and the second choice was the fall. And for those that would come to the activities, they preferred the weekend, and then parents also liked the weekdays with some day activities. This was important because this says to our programming, whoever's going to be taking programming of the park, these are when people will be coming, and these are the times they will be coming. So it's a smart idea to make your plans and your activities around those key times. And then we asked if they would be willing to pay for ticketed events in the park. Over 44% said they agreed that they would pay for some ticketed events in the park, and over 39% strongly agreed that they would pay for ticketed events in the park.
And one thing research also showed was the strong desire to have more activities for children and their families. There was not a current plan for a playground or anything of that sort. So one thing our team started looking at was the opportunity to, going back to our original goals where we had set out a community planting day, but to kind of look at how can we best put a product together that could meet the needs of the community, but also be an added amenity and feature in Cascades Parks. Was we went on and talked to other parks. We had our local research in hand, and when we went out, we really wanted to find out, talking to the entities who either manage the park or manage programming in the park, and said, tell us your best practices. So immediately, a lot of just the same things kept coming up. And one that everybody stressed over and over again was the importance of marketing the amenities, marketing your park, making there be an easy access point for people to find out what's happening in that venue, but also to focus on repetitive events. And one of the examples I love to talk about is Chattanooga. They had a nightfall series, and they had been doing it for a couple years, but it was never really repetitive. Well, they would get maybe a couple hundred people come out, but as soon as they turned it into, this is going to be the, just like our 7 days of opening nights, this will be every fall, it's going to be, we'll have for 6 weeks something going on every single Friday night, it's a free event to the community. All of a sudden, it went from a couple hundred people coming to close to 1,000 people attending, but also not only did it give that local community something to do, but it promoted economic development in the area. So they were able to have, by focusing on a repetitive event, they were able to elevate the success level but also drive economic development. So that's something our team really took back when we were finalizing our report, was not only the importance of across-the-board programming, you know, focusing on every feature in the park and trying to have everything from runs to, as Bernice said, you know, yoga in the morning, you know, all the way to lunch on the lawn, you know, variety, all the way to your, you know, however many times a year, big event that sells out the amphitheater, you know, really balancing out that diversity of programming so that there's something for everyone, making sure it's properly marketed and that there's an easy access point where the community can find out what's going on, also balancing that with free events, with paid events, because, of course, this is something Cascades Park is being built by our sales tax dollars, so it is something for the community. We don't want every event to be charging people to attend what is their natural Central Park. So we were really excited with the program, with the information we found out by talking to other management models, and we put that all together in our report. The report, by the way, can be found on KCCI's website, and I believe there's also a link from KCCI's Facebook page, which all of that information is on a card on your table. And what we even did in our report, which you could also find more detailed online, this is completely a sample. But what we did, we provided in our report, because we wanted the city and the county to have all the resources possible, we put in there all the different key stakeholders we talked with and said, you know what, if we open the park tomorrow, here are people who are willing to, for example, the universities. You know, they're willing to say, give us a day, we will own it, and every day from 11 to 1, we'll have a guitar player, or we'll have a little theater performance. So we put those recommendations in our report. And, of course, our team feels very passionate about this because we all want to be going down to Cascades Park at some point. So this is just a sample, you know, not really true examples, but we wanted in our report to have a visual to show the commissioners and everyone we were sharing it with, just look, here's how we thought about it. Here's what a calendar could look like potentially online. So that really concludes our presentation. We just are, of course, we're so excited about this. We can't thank Blueprint or the city and the county enough. Without their input and resources and just providing us answers to questions when we have them, we would not be here where we are today. But truly, I think one thing we are so blessed with in Tallahassee is living in a place where if you get together with a group of volunteers who all want the same desired outcome, we are so fortunate to have an open government and people who easily do respond to us, commissioners who answer our questions, staff members who are willing to sit down and work with you. So we just thank you all for that. We really appreciate it. And we hope you all will go and check out the website for KCCI. Thank you.
Before we go into the Q&A, I just wanted to point out a couple of things. And that is, the location of this park is so critical because it connects our north and south, our east and west, different groups of people in our community into one central park that, while it has a number of activities, it is still a passive park. The other thing that I wanted to point out, which former Blueprint Director Jim Davis used to say, it's a world-class stormwater facility cleverly disguised as a world-class park. This facility, when we have extensive rain event, if you can imagine a football field, and I've heard this number, imagine a football field and go up 100 feet, that's how much water this park is going to hold. So sometime during the life of this park, you're going to hear about it flooding. That's by design. It's not an accident. It's supposed to happen. The other thing, because I do want to point this out because it's very important, Capital Health Plan stepped forward, and they are paying for these walking trails that are going to be in this park. Mainline Information System stepped forward, and they are paying for the waterfall amenity that's there. Pittman Law Group has stepped forward, and they're paying for a significant amount of Smoky Hollow. Over $1 million in private donations just for those three things. And I think we should, and I always like to point them out, thank them for their part in all this. So I would like to thank them. Now we can do Q&A.
One of the more interesting things that has been proposed for the park is the large fish, the Boca Chuba. What is the status on that, as well as the bridge that crosses Monroe?
The Boca Chuba amenity is not funded at this point. We've estimated about a $300,000 to $350,000 price tag. If anyone wants to write a check, feel free. We can put your name on top of it. It's a 30-foot tall fish, and basically the water will go in the fish, and it will save the town from flooding. So legend has it. You have to imagine it for a little while until we get it funded. The pedestrian bridge is fully funded. We have to complete the enclosure of the ditch that is between Monroe Street and Adams Street. Once that is enclosed, then we can go back and put the bridge on top of that. So both of those amenities, or both of those improvements, are funded. It's just going through the process, building one, then coming back with the pedestrian bridge.
Yeah, the city manager spoke earlier about FAMU Way. That's actually part of eventually the project, because this park will stretch with, I think it's 100-foot wide linear park that runs, that'll start.
Yes, and then it gets larger in certain areas.
Right. So a few years from now, you're really not going to recognize this area. Any other questions? Well, I want to thank these three. Wayne will be back again, by the way, but I want to thank our other panelists. Please, thank them. Now we come to our Midtown segment. So I'm going to ask Ed Zizi. He's the Ed Murray, who's the president of Talcor Commercial Real Estate Services, eighth-generation Florida native. If we had a mayor in Midtown, it would be Ed. He is the greatest thing for economic development. Ed and his company took chances in Midtown, and they were there at the beginning, and they have done some amazing things for us. This is an area that just organically has grown, and we as city and county governments are doing whatever we can to just help them a little bit but stay out of their way. So, Ed, why don't you come on up?
Hi, guys. Never been put on a timer like the rest of us have before, so we'll see how this goes. I think the ideal sense of place community, in my opinion, is an 18 to 20-hour place. It's where you can start off in the morning, have breakfast, work out, do what you want. You can have your job there during the day. You can go out to eat at night, and you can go entertain yourself late into the evening if you choose to. And it's built around a foundation of great neighborhoods, and I think that's what we have. That's what we have in Midtown. If you're purple's not my favorite color, but that's the color that the Midtown Merchants Association has branded, so I'm all in. I'm going for it. I think the heart and soul of Midtown is the Merchants Association. Years ago, when we founded the Merchants Association, we had these great intentions of doing certain things, but over time, the board was run by accountants, attorneys, real estate guys, things like that. When we revamped it a few years ago, we decided that we had to have it run by the merchants, and that's what we did. Gene Bates runs that organization. These are some events that commonly go on. Gene and her group, the members of the association, it's open to anybody. They plan really great events. It's a cross-section of things to do. They're always looking for things to do. Nightlife, if anybody's 25 to 40 years old and you go out at night, you go to Midtown. That's where that section of the market's captured. I drive back from the airport occasionally late at night. I'll drive back on a Friday night. You can't even drive through there. It's amazing, with the bars and then the restaurants that are in there that are incredibly successful. Most all of them are doing really well. Restaurants, my office happens to be in Midtown. I've worked there. I've worked in Midtown every year but one year since 1983. I can now, at my office, I can walk to 16 or 17 restaurants. Now, some are Whataburger. You know, Whataburger's one of them, but there's also Bella Bella. There's a lot of other restaurants that are great, Cool Beans. I think that's just great. We have a lot of retail in Midtown. We're getting more and more every day. The interesting thing that you find out about space, whether it's retail, whether it's office or restaurants, our occupancy rates are higher in Midtown than they are anywhere else. When there's space available, people are renting it. That's what we're finding out. So that's good. The other strong component of Midtown, I think, are our neighborhoods. You've got things like, you've got Waverly and Benton in the north side of Midtown, Lafayette Park, Levy Park, those others. Tell you, if you guys live there, I'm confident, because I live in Benton, our prices are holding their own and they're going up. You can hardly find houses for sale in those different neighborhoods, and you can hardly find places to rent in there. I think that's all, it's one big force that's moving, because people like living there. the park. Jay Revel will probably talk about that more. He was instrumental in that with his Midtown Working Group that we're involved in. That's going to be a great addition, and the city and county have been very helpful with that. Wow, I caught up with the slide. Okay, the next one, Gadsden Street. This is an example of how the county is trying to really help us in Midtown. If you're traveling on Gadsden from the downtown and you're going out of town, it's a raceway. It's 50, 60 miles an hour. It doesn't connect the neighborhoods very well. We need to slow the traffic down. We need to put more crosswalks in and have parking on the street. That's just one of many plans that the city and the county are working on right now. I think the big question that you were asking about the Whole Food development, we're very involved in that. Unfortunately, we don't own that. I'm just the broker and the leasing agent in it. I wish I did. That's an exciting project. Anybody ever been to a Whole Food? If you have, that's a game changer for not only Midtown but for Tallahassee. It's just going to be fantastic. What we're also finding out is the stores that we're beginning to sign up for the Miracle Plaza are paying the top rent in Tallahassee. They're anxious to get there, and there's a list to put some of these people in. So again, it's all starting to build on each other. Questions you may want to know. They're breaking ground around between the 1st and the 15th of June, with Whole Foods has to be open in their minds by about October 20th or so of 2013. The other shops are going to be open a little bit sooner than that. What's in the future? Unfortunately, Chez Pierre closed. We all love Chez Pierre, but all I can say on that is right now is the ownership group that now owns that is going to do something exciting and new. It's going to be a bar. It's going to be predominantly a restaurant with a bar component. There are a lot of other great developments. Lewis Buford's here. He's doing a development where the home health care is and on North Monroe Street, and he also owns the stuff across the street where Crew de Gras is. There's a lot of exciting things there. You've got John Kenny's development by Brugger's Bagels. You've got we purchased Benton Place about a year ago, and you're going to see some good things at Benton Place that's going to go on over the next year or two. We really see what I see coming, and it hadn't started yet. We're going to start having an infill of residential lots, of residential real estate, because once you're full, it's simple, supply and demand. Once there aren't many places that you can buy or you can rent, somebody's going to figure out how to start building things that you can buy or rent. And that's my presentation. So. That was quick. Now, Jay.
Before I call Jay up, I want to let everybody know that when you leave, Vince Long will be available for greetings at the door. He wants to say hello to everybody that came here this evening. No. Jay Revel is aide to Leon County Commissioner John Daly and was a 2009 and 2010 KCCI Community Catalyst. And he's the chair of the Identity Tallahassee Initiative that led to the creation of the Midtown Action Plan. He is now a fellow with the Knight Creative Communities Institute, working to promote the efforts of the Institute. And I will tell you from personal experience, you sit down with this young man and you will be amazed at the ideas that are floating around in his head. And I hope all of them come to fruition, because if they are, if you think Midtown is special, just wait. Jay, and I think we're bringing up Wayne too. Wayne, are we bringing you back up?
I think we have more local businesses in Midtown than anywhere else. One of the things I didn't get a chance to talk about is if you look at the retail that's there, you don't really have many chains right now. And you look at the restaurants, most of them are organic, homegrown restaurants. So I think you've seen that has happened. Now, Whole Foods is going to bring, because it's Whole Foods, they're going to bring some national credit there, but that's okay. But I think you've got to have small, cool spaces for people to rent. You can't have all big spaces because your local businesses can't have a 5,000-square-foot space that they pay $120,000 a year in rent. They can't do it. They need 800 square feet that they can pay $15,000 a year, and they won't go broke. So there is a lot of thought put into that, but at the end of the day, you have to build it. Somebody has to build it, and somebody has to rent it, and the banks have to loan you money to do it. So,
Ed, the best thing that's going on to protect small businesses in Midtown is, you hit the nail on the head, it's the Midtown Merchants Association. I don't know what – I wish Jean Bates was here. I don't know if she's here or not, but she's the president of the Merchants Association, and probably in the last 2 years, the number of small, locally-owned businesses that has really just skyrocketed in Midtown, they've really embraced – this reemergence of the Merchants Association. They're doing amazing things. Great events, great promotions, bar crawls, all kinds of fun stuff. Have they had that Midtown Idol?
I think it's Friday night.
Friday night, okay. Well, there, check that out. That'd be cool.
The Merchants Association just got to where, like I'd said earlier, it was too stale, and it needed to have a merchant running it and need to be run by merchants. And if you hadn't met Gene, She's fun. She's smart. She's creative. She makes a living selling cupcakes, for God's sake. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's hard to do, and she's very good at it.
So. If you've been in Midtown, the one thing you notice is, in fact, and I'll mention their name, and I'm not trying to slight any of the restaurants, but I was recently in Paisley Cafe, which is underneath the building that's next to RG, Rogers Gunner Vaughan, and it's tucked away in a basement. It's in a cellar, and it's hidden, and it was packed. And what you're finding is a little place throughout Midtown that you never thought could survive as a retail location, which would never be rented by a national retailer, are being filled by these local vendors. It's the best thing we can do.
National retailers like to be on 4- and 6-lane roads. They have certain things that are inside their box. Most of Midtown does not fit in the box for a national retailer. Whole Foods will change that to some degree, but they're still not going to come to a 2-lane road. I don't think.
Commissioner, we have a question over here.
A lot of, back here in the corner, a lot of the attention's been put on the Chez Pierre property, but the Paradise Bar and Grill property has been empty for much, much longer. Is there anything being done to actively seek either a lease or a purchase of it? We live up the street from that, and you know we pass it every day.
Yeah, the reason
sitting there empty.
My opinion, the reason Paradise has not sold, it's more of a banking issue. The bank that had the loan was taken over by the government, and it's complicated to get it out of the system. You read about all the foreclosures that it takes for homes. That's what's going on with that. Something's going to happen there when it pops out. I could guess on a bunch of different uses, but something's going to happen. It's too good a piece to not. So
I know a handful of people that have expressed to me that they've looked at it for different reasons. It just hasn't worked out yet, but it's too good of a property for it to sit there vacant for too much longer, I would imagine.
Any other questions?
Yes.
We have one more question.
Gail.
Jump in.
All right. Midtown is already my favorite place in the whole world, in Tallahassee anyway, but the parking is horrible. So has there been any plans on how to handle that? Because I know the neighborhoods don't want you in their neighborhood.
Sure. I'm going to answer this one. We're getting ready to go through a possible extension of our sales tax. There's a committee that is looking at different options. City and county commissioners individually will be submitting. I will tell you, I don't know where, but one of my suggestions is going to be building some kind of parking facility in Midtown. I think it's we need to be careful where it goes, because clearly we don't want to impact those neighborhoods. But it's a popular place, and it's going to get more popular. So I think that's the only way we deal with it. And for me, I think that's the option we work with.
I walk.
And now we have a red sign, which means this presentation is over, so I'd like to thank these panelists. That will have to be the last word for the recorded portion of our program. We'd like to thank our presenters, Anita Favors-Thompson, Vince Long, Ed Murray, Access Tallahassee, and the Tallahassee Democrat, and program co-sponsors KCCI, Leadership Tallahassee, Tallahassee Democrat, and Access Tallahassee. This program was recorded live at St. John's Episcopal Church in downtown Tallahassee. The Village Square is committed to civil and constructive public dialogue on the issues that matter to our community, our state, and our nation. Find us online at tothevillagesquare.org. Thank you for joining us, and good night.
Join us next time for another visit to the Village Square on WFSU-FM.